This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
March 21st is here, the second day of spring. Welcome to This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert, Armand Kachigian with you. Armand, he looks nonplussed already, folks.
Do you know what that means?
No.
It means confused. I'm not confused.
No, you look confused.
Well, you've made a mistake already. It's only the second day of spring in the northern hemisphere. It's the second day of fall in the southern hemisphere.
That's true. Have you ever been in the southern hemisphere?
No. But
do you plan on going?
No, I don't like the way the sailors do that ritual where they throw you in the... You know what happens?
Yeah.
When
you cross the equator.
Yeah.
I've never done it on a boat, though. So
yeah.
So I've only done it on an airplane.
Well, if they do that on a plane, they toss you out.
They do nothing to you. They don't even tell you you're crossing the equator on an airplane.
Yeah. Well, I hope they use a parachute. All right.
All right.
You're under time constraints.
We got some good stuff today. Let's see here. What do I got? We got the events. We got the birthdays. We got the deaths. March 21st, Dick. You know, folks, I'm going to be honest with you. Kind of a so-so day in history, so we try to lighten it up with, some comic relief, at least. 1871, this gentleman.
It's Bismarck,
Otto von Bismarck, Armand.
Von Bismarck.
Appointed chancellor of the German Empire.
Yeah, well, everybody's favorite socialist. This guy was a Junker, actually, which means a young noble.
He's
from Prussian, and I don't know, he enacted, we've talked about it, old age pensions, universal education, all kinds of that nonsense, workman's compensation.
Yeah, heaven forbid you get hurt on the job and get compensated for it.
Yeah.
Heaven forbid.
You know, I mean, the guy's out of his mind.
I mean, he got a nice
wearing hard hats. And,
he got a nice battleship named after him.
Yeah, that got sunk real good.
Right on its first mission.
That got blowed up real good.
And then he had Madeleine Kahn, doing her shtick on him.
It's Bismarck a Hewie.
In Blazing Saddles.
Bismarck a Hewie.
Okay. Anyway, he was doing all right when Kaiser Wilhelm I. They got along pretty well, and he got all this, his. Acts promulgated, but then Kaiser Wilhelm died, and then Frederick took over, and he died in about 90 days, cancer. And then Wilhelm II took over, and he didn't like Bismarck so much, and he got him the hell out of there.
Yeah, I did.
But this guy wielded a lot of power. I mean, he had a parliament, you had the Bundesrat.
How did he get a battleship named after him, though?
Well, Iron Chancellor?
Yeah, I get
that. He was very popular
in Germany. I get that, but...
Not during World War One.
From what you're telling me, his politics and the politics of the regime.
Same. Socialism. Not National Socialism. Of course they loved it. Everything for the country.
Mm.
Not the individual. That's Hitler, right? Mm. All over the place. And Roosevelt, by the way. And Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, etc.
Yeah,
that means everything's for the good of the country. A common epithet of these guys that think that they don't want individualism.
They're not
patriotism,
Randian, is what you're saying.
They're not what?
They're not Randian.
Randian?
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. I don't know what that means.
They don't take after. They don't espouse the things that.
Oh,
that
aim. Oh, Ayn Rand.
Yeah.
Ayn Rand. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, they don't expose any of your classical liberals. That's not individual is what it's all about, not the country. Patriotism, last refuge of a scoundrel. That was Boswell, right?
I like that.
No, Samuel Johnson. Boswell quoted.
I like that.
Yeah.
All right. Also, very same date, 1871. The journalist, Henry Morton Stanley. Well, he begins his trek to go find David Livingstone.
I don't think he'll find him. It's too big.
Yeah.
Africa's too big. Dark continent.
Yeah, amazingly, he did, though.
Really? I wonder what the odds were on that invasion.
That had to be.
I'd lay 3-1 against that one.
Now, even though Las Vegas wasn't really a thing, you got to think in Monaco or in some London parlor, someone took a bet on this. You're going to do what?
Lloyd's of London. Go to that tea house. They'll take bets on anything.
You're going to do what?
I wouldn't have insured him, I'll tell you that.
I'm going to sail up the Congo. I'm going to look for this guy.
Yeah, good luck, buddy.
That, again, amazing. Plenty of books on it, by the way.
I know what continent he's on. I think I can find him.
Yeah, yeah. We could narrow it down.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about hubris. I'm just going to go.
Tony Hubris?
No, hubris. Oh. You know, hubris. Oh. No.
Isn't that
Stanley had some.
Isn't that a Jewish ceremony?
No, that's a bris.
Oh, okay. Without the hue.
Right, without the hue. No hue
what
in that
is that?
One. That's my computer.
You're bubbling. All right.
Yeah, that's percolating. 1919, Armand, the Hungarian Soviet Republic is established. I'd never realized that the first Eastern Bloc country really came as early as this. 1919, the communist government to be formed. It's the first communist government that's going to be formed in Europe after Russia's October Revolution. And it happens as early as this, March 21st, 1919. The first part of the Iron Wall laid down on this date. Iron Curtain.
Well, I
laid down on this date.
I don't know about this because, you know, the trivia question, what is the second nation to be a communist nation, is always the answer is Mongolia. So I would think that's before Hungary. I've never heard of the Hungarian Soviet Republic. I got to look this up.
Yeah, check it out. 1925, this one comes back to the United States. Yeah. The Butler Act.
Okay.
And what does this do? This is a state act, by the way.
Yeah.
Wasn't a national act.
State of Tennessee.
Tennessee, in their ultimate wisdom, decided to prohibit the teachings of human evolution.
Yeah, but here again, yeah, well, you can promulgate this act, but enforcement, and look what happened. Scopes,
yeah,
on purpose, disobeyed it, and he got fined $100 and never paid a dime anyway, and it was a big cause célèbre. So,
and he got
you can make
trial.
Any law you want. Right.
He got a good trial.
He got a nice play
out of it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get the part I wanted. But,
what part did you go for in that play?
I wanted to be
the monkey.
No, yeah, I want to be the H.L. Mencken character.
Ah, okay. No, you would. That would have been good for you.
I know
that.
I'm good and acerbic.
Yeah, I would have paid to see that.
Yeah, you wouldn't have paid to see what
well,
I did.
It probably would have been free, right? Yeah.
No, I'm not giving you any will call tickets.
Oh, well, I thought we were
pay
friends.
Like everybody else.
Okay. Charles Lindbergh in 1928 presented with the Medal of Honor for his solo transatlantic flight.
Yeah, good for him.
Yeah. How did he get back, though?
I think to a ship, didn't he?
Did they bring the plane home on a ship then?
I think so.
Oh. That just kind of seems...
like the three Russian aviators in A Night at the Opera.
Kind of seems anticlimactic, doesn't it?
They got halfway across, and they ran out of gas,
and
had to go back.
Had to go back.
Yeah. This time out of 3 feet. And what do you think happened? Yeah, so back we go again.
Back we go again. It's like the Bugs Bunny cartoon where the guy dive bombs towards the earth and...
Oh, yeah, stop, yeah.
He runs out of gas just before impact.
Right, that was a good one.
1935, the Shah of Iran, he formally will ask the international community to quit calling his country Persia and start calling it by its real name, what Persians in Iran call it, which is Iran.
Iran, I would think.
Yeah.
But,
well, I
know,
say
it's a reasonable request.
Now, okay. I looked into
it's
this
their
one.
Country. You can call anything you want.
Iran means land of the Aryans.
Ah, Hitler, okay. Hitler would approve.
Well, and he misappropriated this one big time because the Indo-European, it's no.
They're the wrong Aryans.
It's the wrong Aryans.
You
and
wipe them out,
and
too.
They did not originate in that sector of Europe at all. It's all bogus. But
they're not
however,
blonde hair and blue eyed either, so
no,
they got to be
nope,
killed.
Nope, and nope. Aryan does, though, in mean noble.
So does Juncker.
Yeah, yeah. So that's where you get the term Iran. But before then, if you were...
I thought the flock of seagulls came up with that.
Iran so far away.
Right.
What's
really,
the name of that
really,
song? Is that, it's just Iran, isn't it?
I think it's Iran, isn't it?
Yeah. So before that, you know, if you're United States, you know, diplomatic guy, you would refer to
better,
the country as Persia.
Sure.
Then it became
or they'll take you hostage.
Iran.
You know what happens.
Now, this next one I love.
All right. Is
this I love plots. I think this is a movie script for
it.
You,
I
Armand.
I knew immediately. They've already done something like this.
No, they did. What they did
is
Valkyrie.
Yeah, well, who wants to see another Hitler plot? Come on.
Oh, it's great.
They tried to kill Dick Shawn and the producers, remember? They try. Oh, they try. That was the best part. Hey, baby.
Oh, man.
I laid it on him. Propaganda, man. What'd you tell him? I told him we won.
It's great propaganda.
It's
won.
Baby. Where's my little Joe?
So here's the plot. And this really happened. March 21st.
Yes, this did happen.
The Wehrmacht officer, Rudolf.
Wehrmacht.
Get some phlegm going. Wehrmacht. Officer Rudolf von Gersdorf. Mm-hmm. Well, he plots to assassinate Hitler by using a suicide bomb.
That's right.
Now, this, unlike
good idea.
Unlike other attempts by von Stauffenberg, where they put the briefcase
the
under
and
the
then
desk.
Leaves. Yeah. And then, no, this guy was going to give him a big hug.
He's going to take one for Germany. He's going to take one for Germany.
Take one for the Reich.
He's going to embrace Hitler.
And by the way, Bismarck was the Second Reich. You heard of the Third Reich?
Yeah.
Bismarck was the second.
He was the second.
Yes.
So the plan falls through because here's what happens. Not only was Hitler in the crosshairs on this day, but Hermann Goering.
Oh, yeah, all of them.
Heinrich Himmler.
Yeah, they were all together.
And Karl Dönitz.
Dönitz.
He wasn't
a bad guy, though. They let him go.
Yeah, but
at the end, after Nuremberg trial.
He still was the head of the German Navy, so it's significant.
That would have been they had the whole thing set up
for
a junta.
So they have the coup d'etat in place.
Yes.
They have a armory full of Soviet captured weaponry that they are going to give the Fuhrer a tour of.
It was on the Eastern Front, I believe, wasn't it?
Gersdorf is leading the tour. All right. And
see, you can't trust those tour guides. That's why I never go to Universal Studios.
You never know. Yeah.
You never think they're gonna hug you and blow you to bits.
Or here's the thing. You make sure you get through the tour quickly. So he has a coat on, and as the tour begins, he pulls the detonation device with a 10-minute timer.
Yep.
Okay?
Beat the clock.
They begin the tour. Well, Hitler, being,
I think he's in a rush.
Being the Fuhrer and being impatient.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tour doesn't take 10 minutes. Apparently, Hitler gets through this in about 6, 7, 8 minutes.
Yeah, that's
sending Gersdorf.
Probably had a date with Eva Braun.
Nothing, because there's nothing he can do. He cannot self-detonate these devices.
No.
They're on a timer.
Correct.
So off the hierarchy of the Third Reich goes, and off to the bathroom, okay?
Yeah.
Does our man von Gersdorf run, where he literally plays beat the clock in a bathroom to defuse these devices and avoids all suspicion?
Yeah, and he goes back to war and keeps fighting.
And he goes back to war.
It was a nice try. It was a nice effort.
It's incredible. Now, here's what also I found really incredible.
Well, don't give away the end, see? Now, nobody wants to see your movie.
It's not the end. It's not the end. I also found it incredible that the Munich Historical, one of the Munich Historical Associations that does research into the plotters, they find no difference between the plotters and the actual Nazis. They all had the same sentiment. It's only when the plotters realized, oh, we're going to lose this war and we're going to be held criminally accountable for genocide, do most of the plotters begin to take action.
There were all kinds of plots against him in the 30s, even when he was like chancellor.
This guy survived everything.
Yeah, well, him and...
The other guy who always...
De Gaulle. They tried to kill 60 times. And who was the other? Henry of Navarre. But they got him. Yeah, they finally got him.
And every time.
And Trotsky. Trotsky.
But his time eventually ran out. But
yeah, we'll talk about him a little later. Well, we should. No, you have mentioned a couple of big things. Wow. Okay, first of all, the Cornerstone speech by Alexander Stevens.
Yes.
In 1861, one of my favorite speeches. Now, if you ignore all the stuff about... black people not being human beings and, being property and, that.
Oh, if you can get past that.
Well, yeah, because that's what the Bible says and science corroborates that. No, get past that. But what he does say about infrastructure and that being, if you use it, pay for it. That's what he's saying, and I agree with it. And in this day and age, listen.
If you use,
why should we, he said, why should the South pay for a bridge
of the North
up in Boston? That's stupid. If we have a bridge in Charleston, South Carolina, and we use it, we pay for that. Mm-hmm. The people that use it pay for it, right? Makes sense, doesn't it? And he was totally against tariffs. And he also brought up the fact that the South, what the South's debt was at the time of the Civil War? About $18 million. You know what the North's was?
Oh, hundreds of millions. $175 million.
Right, so he said, that's no good. Screw them. Let them pay their own debt. So, and no tariffs. It's a great speech.
Yeah. And where did he do the speech at? The Cornerstone speech?
The Cornerstone speech. Oh, boy, did I write it down? Somewhere in the South.
Way to narrow it down.
South of Mason-Dixon line.
Way to narrow it down, Dr. Livingstone.
Yeah, right. Have Livingstone find it. Anyway, well, the speech Stanley itself, to look don't for worry the... about the geography. Worry about the philosophy.
Well, the only thing I would say, if you can get past the...
states' rights. It was a big states' rights speech.
Incredibly horrific racial connotations of it. The only justification, I would especially say back then, okay, if you're, why should a Southerner pay for a bridge in Massachusetts?
Yeah, or anywhere.
And vice versa.
He's not going to use.
Vice versa. My defense would be, well, if the infrastructure promotes interstate commerce.
Oh, boy. Yeah, interstate commerce clause. Or it promotes the general welfare. Use that, too.
Well, you can use
or it comes under the 14th
but
Amendment.
But in 1861, interstate commerce is quite different than what it is today.
Yeah,
the infrastructure today makes it easy. You can go to South Carolina and Missouri in one day.
Of course.
But
the thing is, you nowadays, you put a computer chip in your car.
Yes.
You drive over a road. You pay for that road as you drive over it. It's so simple now. You have GPS.
Yeah.
You can put all this stuff, like if I drive one place back and forth from home to here, I should be paying for that road.
Only
get
pay
it?
For what you use?
Exactly. And if I use another road, that's not that big deal. But the people that use it every day pay for it.
Sure. Oh, I get it. I get what you're saying.
Bridges, same thing.
But would we have the amount of infrastructure that we enjoy if we adopted that methodology?
We don't enjoy infrastructure.
I do.
We use it. We utilize it.
I love driving around this country.
All right. Yeah, but the places that don't use it that much shouldn't have. Well, what do we need them for? Like bridges to nowhere. That's what you get when you enjoy things. Pay to play. And worse comes to worse, I think it should be privatized anyway.
I don't have a problem like paying the toll on the Will Rogers Parkway or tollway.
Why not?
I don't have a problem.
I mean, for instance, the tollway in Chicago. That was put forth as some sort of bond issue or whatever. And they said, we're going to have tollways. Once it's paid off, we're going to take the tollways away.
And they never
took
it away.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah. They never took it away.
Of course
and they never
not.
Will.
Right.
They never will.
That's what it is.
I enjoy the Florida Turnpike as well.
Well, last time I paid on Turnpike was Kansas, of all places.
Sure, yeah.
I never use that thing again.
Okay, but you used it once, you paid for it, and you feel better about it.
No, I don't feel better at all. It's already been paid for. When I was in residency, I was paying for that, and I used it a lot.
Oh, okay.
That was 27 years ago. Anyway, nowadays, it's simple to do. Now, maybe not quite so easy back then, but with all this GPS, computer chips, et cetera.
Oh, yeah.
It's easy to do. In fact, that's why you privatize it, because some company's going to make a profit on it. And it's proven that if a private company has it, the roads don't have potholes and things like that.
Or let me tell you, that Will Rogers Parkway in Oklahoma, it is pristine.
It's the one that goes down to Tulsa?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
catch it just after...
Yeah, I used to
just after Tulsa.
I used to do when I drive to California.
Yeah, yeah. And
I-44.
It makes the cruise from Tulsa to Oklahoma City just like the blink of an eye, because everyone's going 90 miles an hour.
Well, that's good, too.
And the road's very safe and straight, and, it's great.
Okay. So you agree with me again?
I just like it. I enjoy using it, and I don't mind paying whatever I pay to zip along.
Well, that's what they do in California also. If you want to avoid traffic, they have these lanes that you pay for.
Yeah.
That makes perfect sense to me.
That's also why they were called freeways.
Well, yeah. Well, because it – but at that
because
time,
when a
the tollway was
when a Californian
slower
goes,
than
what
down.
What are you talking about, a highway?
Yeah, or a tollway. They don't know what those are.
No, it's a freeway because it was free.
But now they have pay, and it makes sense.
That your soapbox for today?
Way to
good?
Go. Alexander Stevens, yeah.
Speaking
Now, wait a minute. Now, I'm going to take the opposite side.
Oh, okay.
The new economic policy was enacted in Russia in 1921.
Oh, yeah.
This is basically, at this juncture, after the Civil War and all that, Lenin thought, maybe the public owning everything isn't such a great idea. So he actually gave back some private ownership to small farmers, et cetera.
Sure.
And because they realize people are starving because nobody's going to work for everybody else.
Right. Doesn't work.
Didn't last that long. Rescinded by Stalin in 28 after Lenin died in 24. But for a while there, we actually had a little bit, you know what Lenin said? One step back, two steps forward.
Mm-hmm.
Stalin just kept going forward. He didn't give a
shit.
Yeah,
he just done.
Yeah. So he enacted 5-year plans.
Yeah. The old Georgian was just going to ramrod it through.
Yeah. He didn't care. So although actually he was to the right a little bit of Trotsky. Trotsky didn't want any, you know, he was totally against this. He wanted no private ownership of all, at yeah. all.
You know how that works? Look,
it doesn't
okay,
work.
Every listener right now, and again, I don't mean to get overly political. This is not a partisan thing in the United States.
Hell, it isn't. All right.
But, no, here. We can all, you know, look around your coworkers. Think about your coworkers in your office. Every office has a coworker.
I have no coworkers in my
office.
You've seen my office.
Yeah, I've seen your office.
I lock myself in solitary.
Look around people you work with every day.
Yes.
And there's at least one person you can think of and go, that's why socialism doesn't work. Right there.
Oh, the guy doesn't pull his weight?
Not even pull his weight.
Yeah, doesn't do anything.
Doesn't do anything.
Well, if you're a government worker, who cares? But well, if you're actually in a business, yeah.
If yeah, you have
those
you,
people are
there has to be
ferreted
like
out.
Like you always say about a screenplay, there has to be stakes.
Yes.
Okay. Same thing as you know, and again, you're going to fall off your seat. This coming from me. Same thing's true in the economic marketplace in terms of labor. There has to be stakes.
All right.
The stake can't be I'm just going to show up. That's not a stake.
Well, if you work for the government, that's a stake.
You have to do something.
Okay.
Anything productive.
Well, tell the boss if people aren't pulling their weight and see what he says.
Well, that's
let's cut some of this driftwood.
It's up to them. But every person, you know this. Every job you've ever had, you look around. There's someone just not doing
it. Oh, yes, there is.
Not doing anything. And you're like, ah, that's why.
I don't know. You were suspect for a while. I didn't know what you were up to around here.
Well, why don't you ask?
I think I will.
1946, the L.A. Rams. They signed Kenny Washington, making him the first African-American player in the American football scene since 1933.
Who was 1933?
I don't know.
Okay.
But Kenny Washington's often regarded as the first.
Yeah, that's one I've heard.
The first, African-American player.
Yeah.
Even though there were African-American players of all sorts.
Seems like the same thing in baseball.
Same thing in baseball.
Fleet Walker, remember?
Yeah.
Fleet Walker?
You know, all you need to do is rewind the clock far enough,
yeah.
And you will find, okay? But
not on Alexander Stevens' team.
No, not
He only
on
had humans on his team.
Only humans.
All right.
So there you have it.
You do know who Alexander Stevens is.
Yeah, work for the phone company.
Vice president of the Confederacy.
The Confederacy. Only humans on his team.
All right.
So Kenny Washington, a year before Jackie Robinson. Yeah. But in terms of the modern NFL, modern sport, you know, NFL, hockey, baseball.
Yes.
And the NBA really wasn't well established at this time. It was just in its infancy.
It still isn't.
No, it's very well established now. But, that's why Kenny Washington gets this credit.
Okay. Well, good for Kenny Washington. Yeah. He's the answer to the trivia question.
He is.
If they ask. Yeah.
Right. And in 1952, Alan Freed presents the Moondog Coronation Ball, the first rock and roll concert in Cleveland, Ohio. He does so on March 21st. You ever hear Alan Freed?
I think I have. He's got quite a voice there. It sounds
And on we go with the Brunswick Rock and Roll Show, starring the Alan Freed Big Band, the Crickets, Jackie Wilson, and Terry Nolan. Here's one that dates back to another musical era, back to the Glenn Miller days and the Erskine Hawkins days. Leon Marion on trumpet with the Big Band and Tuxedo Junction.
How long could you possibly listen to that?
I could listen to Tuxedo Junction
for a while. A DJ doing that shtick.
Oh. Well,
no, he's 50s. Great at it. But come on, you had to talk like that
payola.
All the time?
Yeah, he was happy. He was taking payola and making a lot of money.
They all were taking payola.
Yeah, but he got big trouble, didn't he?
Yeah. Well,
we'll take payola.
Pay
me, I'll play anything you want on this show.
Yes. All right, 1902. Who was born on this date?
I don't know this first one.
Sunhouse. I'll play.
Wait a minute. First of all, you missed a couple of biggies.
Did I?
A big one. 1768.
Yes.
Joseph Fourier.
Yes.
This guy gave me fits when I was taking college math, calculus. Fourier series, Fourier conversions, I still don't know. In fact, I was looking at it last night, trying to figure out the Fourier transforms. Basically, you're changing the time function to some sort of frequency function using trig functions. Pretty high-level math.
Damn.
Never could quite figure it out. I'm working on it, though. I'm working on my Fourier series. But anyway, very important French mathematician. Came up with the idea of the greenhouse effect, and he's wrong. It's not correct. Let's put it this right now.
You just wanted to get that in,
well,
didn't you?
The atmosphere, and he even admitted this because the other guys did not take convection. Svante Arrhenius is the guy that came up with the, you know, he's the one that came up with the.
Say that name again.
Svante Arrhenius.
Arrhenius?
Came up with the idea of global warming or the greenhouse effect from carbon dioxide. First and last time, no, it won't be the last time I'm going to say, I'll say it every time. The atmosphere is not an insulator, okay? The atmosphere is a coolant. So if we didn't have the atmosphere,
oh, we'd be fried. We'd be fried.
Well, that's not what people. That's not what the globe. That's not what the greenhouse effect says. If we didn't have the atmosphere, we'd be iced over. Like the atmosphere adds 33 degrees centigrade to our temperature. That is not true, and I can illustrate it by the moon. Moon has no atmosphere. What is the side of the moon that faces the sun? What's the temperature? About 173 degrees centigrade. The other side's like 200 degrees below zero?
Right.
Okay. How does the atmosphere act as an insulator? How does the atmosphere warm us? It doesn't. It acts as a coolant, like basically the same thing you use in your air conditioner, with the motor being the sun.
Yeah. So. Except Freon is bad for our atmosphere.
I'm not using Freon. We're using the radiation from the sun.
Yeah. But you said anyway, like an air conditioner, which uses
but
Freon.
But that's what the atmosphere does. It's a coolant. It's the coolant in the air conditioner. So there you go.
I got you.
So Furrier was wrong, although he wasn't really wrong.
Cause right. What else you got? Birthday.
I'd rather expatiate.
No,
on,
I know
on
you.
Global
you can
warming.
Have your own podcast.
No,
on
I think
global
you got
warming.
Him. Okay, and my other one's coming up.
All right.
So you got him. Actually.
You asked about Sunhouse. What it? Blues guy. Early blues
never
guy.
Heard of
Give
him.
You a taste.
More.
Armand is not impressed.
That I can't listen to.
Armand is not impressed. Oh, man. 1906, John D. Rockefeller III.
John David Rockefeller.
Yep.
Just talked about.
Well, we just had the passing away of.
This would have been his, let's see, the third. Would this have been his son?
Mm-hmm.
I guess it would be his. Well, dude, it wasn't the, I don't know, one of them. The guy was 101 years old.
Right.
Maybe his, no, it was his brother.
It's his brother.
Brother.
Because he was born in 19. 16,
right,
and this is 1906.
Yeah, this is brother.
This is his brother, John D. the Third.
Yep.
The American, and I just love, they philanthropist.
Well, he was.
I know he was.
Gave
and they
away
were great.
A ton.
They were great philanthropists.
In fact, that's all this guy was, because he didn't really do anything.
He never
he
really
just took
worked
the, money and
the
gave
oil,
it away.
Right.
He didn't do anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
1922, Russ Meyer.
Ah, this is the one I like. My man, Russ. I got a few things to say about Russ. Faster Pussycat, Kill Kill.
Kill Kill? Is it just Kill Kill or Kill
Kill?
Kill
Kill. And with exclamation points, too.
Okay. All
right. Two kills.
Now, you know there's a band named Faster Pussycat
yeah,
just for that
it.
Film.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie? It's the stupidest thing you'll ever
oh, no,
see, but
no,
boy, it's great.
No, I've never seen it.
He was a breast man, and I love him. You know, actually, he
did he do Valley of the Dolls?
Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Beyond. Now
which
that.
Was written by Roger Ebert. Had nothing to do, by the way. They had to have a disclaimer.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That has got my absolute favorite line of dialogue. Here it is. You have an unending... I haven't read it in a long time. I just thought
you're laughing already.
You have an unending capacity for counterfeit astonishment. Now that's a great line. Thank you, Roger Ebert, who wrote that. Yep, you have
oh,
an
man.
Unending
I might have
capacity
to go watch
for
Valley
counterfeit
of
astonishment
again. Oh,
it's pretty bad. But it tried.
How many
it
films?
Campy.
How many films?
He made a lot, man. He had like three periods.
Yeah,
his Gothic period, and you know, but.
I mean, he gets joked about a
Mondo,
lot. But...
Mondo trash and
yeah,
whatever. I don't know what
yeah.
the hell. But anyway, you know, he lost his virginity during World War II. Apparently went to a cat house in France.
Yeah.
And Ernest Hemingway.
Took his virginity?
Yeah. Well, no. He said, you're a virgin, huh? So he said, I'm going to buy your whore for you. Which one? Pick one. And he said, I took the one with the biggest breasts.
Boy, he did. Like.
And he's also a photographer. You know who his favorite subject was?
It doesn't. On Seinfeld, don't they even joke about that? Like the waitresses at the coffee shop when
Russ
they all
Meyer.
Get bosomy. Jerry says that this it looks like casting for a Russ Meyer film.
Right there, you go. That's what he is. His favorite was Anita Ekberg.
Oh well,
39 Double D.
That's
yep.
We all like that, Armand.
Right, well,
let's
we
be honest.
Sure do. Russ Meyer, good for him.
That's good. Go watch a Russ Meyer movie,
and
folks.
And then what? One of these feminists attacked him one time and said. you're only a breast man, and he said, "Well, that's only half of it." So he actually had a pretty good wit.
1949, Eddie Money, the American singer-songwriter, born.
tolerable.
1958, Brad Hall, comedian, director, screenwriter, married to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Oh.
And their son, okay, Charlie Hall, was playing for Northwestern in the NCAA tournament. He's a bench player. Okay. At Northwestern.
Not the Charlie Hall who's the
antagonist
of Laurel and Hardy.
No, not that the Charlie Hall. I think he might be named Charlie because of that.
Well, that guy's funny. Yeah. I like Charlie Hall.
Because that's kind of Brad Hall's sensibilities.
See, Laughing Gravy, one of my favorite Laurel and Hardy shorts where the brick lands on his head and he's got this huge bump on his head. It's hilarious. It's like a cone on the top. It's the funniest. If the hair coming out of it.
Oh.
It's hilarious.
Then also, same day, same birth date, same year, 1958, March 21st, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
I told you.
Name of the movie, Armand.
One of those Batmans?
Nope.
Bring me everyone.
What do you mean everyone?
Everyone!
I don't know.
The Professional.
Oh, okay.
You've never seen The Professional?
Not that I recall. I've seen Gary Oldman in person.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he came to my acting class.
Oh, that's right.
He gave
us
a little speech, yeah.
Yeah, and you said he didn't like him.
He was talking about how Hollywood screwed
him.
Yeah.
1962, Matthew Broderick born. That's Ferris Bueller to you and me, Russ.
He's also a killer. I mean, isn't he the guy that murdered a couple?
No, he didn't murder, but vehicular manslaughter.
Yeah.
And I believe it happened in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's one of those shocking
things. Somewhere abroad, I don't think I got away with it. I mean, as an actor, he's okay. I don't have any problem with him. But
1962, Rosie O'Donnell. Born on the same exact date as Broderick.
Oof.
You got to be kidding.
I find her odious.
I would have sworn Rosie was at least 10 years older. At least.
About 200 pounds heavier.
And to think that Rosie O'Donnell's only 9 years older than me?
Yeah, but she's still older than I am.
Good grief.
Like,
That's got to be a typo.
Me no like. In fact, I give her a little raspberry.
Well, here's the reason I give her a. You know, she was all anti-gun.
You give her a raspberry too?
Yeah, because you can't be a hypocrite.
Oh, okay.
Her and Penny Marshall, when they were out stumping for Kmart.
Yeah, I remember that.
Okay,
sure.
And then they were blabbing and blabbing and blabbing about you know, guns. I'm not a huge gun guy. You're not a huge gun guy.
Never fired. Well, I fired an M16.
Okay, but you know,
ROTC.
I don't have a problem with legal gun ownership.
Me either.
None of the people I know that own guns pose a threat to me.
Absolutely.
Or anyone else.
In fact,
however,
I like them having guns. They're
however,
defensive.
You can't be shilling for a company that's one of the leading retailers of firearms in the United States. You can't take that money and then go off saying. That's hypocrisy.
I got a feeling Rosie O'Donnell would, if you gave her $50,000, would probably shill for, you know, Smith & Wesson or Mauser. Anyway, yeah, I agree with you.
In 1980,
I don't like hypocrisy either.
Yeah, in 1980, Ronaldinho was
heard
born.
Of him.
Very good. Entertaining. My kids, one of my kids' favorite players when he was really young, we took him, we saw Ronaldinho play a couple times. No, he's retired.
He's
basically retired.
Young guy.
Yeah, he's basically retired. But, he still kicks it around, you know.
I bet.
He gets paid by, probably a club in China or something to show up. All right, a couple minutes left on the show.
My favorite's still Russ Meyer.
Russ Meyer,
see
baby.
See his movies.
We could have done a whole show on Russ Meyer films.
I'd like to watch
1963,
one.
Alcatraz is closed.
Yeah, a couple things. I thought it was open in 1933. We've talked about most of these things. We had Al Capone was in there.
That's true.
What the heck? Are you
That's
bubbling
my computer.
Here?
Don't worry about the computer.
Al Capone was there, played the banjo and, the Rock Islanders, the band. A lot of people, it wasn't that bad a place, actually. In fact, a lot of people wanted to go there.
Good food?
The food was great. You could have all you wanted because the guy that was the warden, I think his name was Johnson, he decided that why do people riot at these prisons? Well, the vast majority.
Well, food.
Lousy food.
Yes.
Just like, you know, Cagney and George Raft, you know, this food stinks, you know. Get me a mouthpiece, etc.
Yeah, you want to sedate.
I ain't going to eat this crap.
You want to sedate any population.
Yeah, give them good
without
food.
Using medicine? Yeah, give them a nice dinner.
You had a nice room to yourself,
and
which a lot of guys wanted.
Yeah. Right.
So
two things.
A lot of places.
Silence.
Guys.
Don't be shoulder to shoulder. Good food. And if you can, put stalls into the bathrooms.
Yeah. See,
that'll eliminate
half
your problems.
Hopefully you got your own room. You take a shit by yourself.
You'd like to go to prison, wouldn't you?
I try to make mine as Alcatraz.
You kind of have.
Yeah.
You kind of have. Because you work out
you
in your room
place
a lot.
Right.
Yeah.
I got my little pull-up bar. So anyway, but we do know that Stroud was not. There were no birds in Alcatraz.
No, no,
sorry, that was
no
in Leavenworth.
Birds,
no so the Birdman of Alcatraz.
He's from Kansas.
That was pure apocryphal.
1965, Dr. King, he leads the 3,200 on the start of the third in the final Civil Rights March.
I've never seen that movie.
From Selma to Montgomery. I need to watch Selma. Right. I have not seen it either. Yeah, that's shame on
that.
Me. Okay. 1980, Jimmy Carter.
This worked well. God. This is a good idea.
He announces the boycott of the 1980 Summer Olympics in Moscow. Again, who does that punish?
Our athletes.
Yeah, it punishes us.
Yep.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Okay.
1983, the first, and this is interesting.
I got one, though.
This might be a script for you. The first case of the 1983 West Bank fainting epidemic begins.
I never heard of it.
And I never had either. I don't remember this.
I'll look into it.
Israelis and Palestinians begin accusing each other on this date of using poison gas against each other because all these people are fainting. But the cause is later determined to be mostly psychosomatic.
Yeah, as most things are.
Saying if you introduce any thought into a population of people,
such as global warming,
you will get a result.
Yeah, there you go.
1980s.
Because people are stupid. Let's face it. Well, lazy, stupid, indolent.
I don't want to call everyone stupid, but gullibility is
1%. I'd say it's maybe 1% of the population carries everything. The rest. These are our scientists. These are our innovators.
Everyone else is just window dressing.
Well, we're just basically.
My buddy Matt Brown and I had a theory all the way back in the 1980s. 80% of the people are here just to be consumers.
Well, yeah. It's basically like Russ Meyer.
Just to be consumers.
What's a woman? A transportation device for tits.
God, that's awful. 86, Debbie Thomas becomes the first African American to win the World Figure Skating Championships. Gosh, she was gorgeous. Still is. 1994, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change enters into force. Armand will be doing a special 2-hour podcast.
Special raspberry.
On this alone.
Okay.
In 1999, Bertrand Picard, which is a great name.
Yeah, that's a balloonist
name. What a
great name.
Bertrand Picard. Picard.
Yeah.
And Brian Jones, not of
Remember
the
Noel Picard?
Yeah.
Could you understand a word that guy
said? Oh, Noel, the Frenchie, eh? Oh, you got the puck and you get the net, eh?
That's no in hockey. He passed puck front of net. That's my friend.
No, seriously. We've gone from Brian Picard to Noel Picard.
I like Noel better.
To Slapshot because the goalie in Slapshot, I got to believe.
Yeah. The hair.
He's based on Noel, right?
I don't know.
He's got, I mean, not that.
An amalgam of all kinds of
hockey
players.
Not that the NHL isn't full of French Canadians.
Yeah.
But especially.
You go to the penalty box. Bucks? You feel bad.
You feel shame?
You feel shame. That's right. No. Boy, he was. Noel Picard.
Well, what did Bertrand...
I was on tape anyway. I want to hear those again.
What?
Noel Picard.
Oh, we'll find Noel Picard.
I'd love to
tape.
Hear some of those.
What did these two do, Picard and Jones? They became the first to circumnavigate the Earth in a hot air balloon.
That means go around.
All the way around. And again, I don't count circumnavigations unless you do them at the equator or from the North Pole to the South Pole.
I could do it at the North Pole, yeah. I could circumnavigate the Earth in a
balloon. That's a short way around. You could do it. Matter of fact, you could hold 1 foot in place. And pull it off.
Yeah.
Right?
Theoretically, yes.
Theoretically. I circumnavigated the globe. Yeah, you did. 1999, that happened. 2000, Pope John Paul makes his first ever pontifical.
Pontifical.
That's not a good word.
I like it. I like Pope John Paul, too.
Yeah. Well, anyway.
He was a good one.
He visited Israel. First visit to Israel. Very good. JP2. And the one I think that probably affects the world we live in today
not
the
me.
Most
I'm
is the most recent. The social media site Twitter is founded on this date, March 21st.
Don't buy the stock.
2006.
You'll lose your shirt.
My God, has Twitter had an effect on us in the last 11 years. I have two deaths today, Armand. What do you have?
I got, let me see. I got more than that.
Okay. I want to mention.
I got to turn on my page. Well, I got a couple before these, so I'll go first.
Go first.
I got several before these. Thomas Cranmer, which I'm surprised you didn't, knowing that I'm an Anglophile.
I did look at him, and I decided that you would have him down, so I left him off my list.
Yeah, Archbishop of Canterbury under Henry VIII. He, you know, him along with Thomas Cromwell are the guys that kind of
engineered. You haven't been to Canterbury?
No. Yes, I haven't.
It's fascinating.
I went to England, but I didn't go to Canterbury.
Amazing cathedral.
Anyway, Henry VIII wanted to get his divorce from Catherine of Aragon. Mm-hmm. This guy, sure, why
yeah,
not?
Yeah, we got you. We got
part,
your divorces.
Part of the Reformation in England, which basically... We don't buy the Pope's bullshit. The king is the
king.
Yeah,
we'll buy your bullshit instead.
Royal supremacy.
If I buy your bullshit, will you make me head of the Church of England?
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is working out fine for Thomas Cranmer until well,
know.
Edward the Sixth comes. No, it's not the Edward the Sixth. It was Edward the Sixth, Henry VIII's son.
Mm-hmm.
Edward the Sixth. He doesn't last long. He dies at 17. He was in good graces with him too. In fact, that's where he did his Book of Common Prayer. He wrote, which I think is still used in the English Anglican Church.
It is.
Okay.
It
here comes Bloody Mary.
Yes.
Mary Tudor.
Yep.
She's a Catholic.
Yeah, she is.
That's no good.
Nope.
Well, so Cranmer, being a practical man, I recant everything I said.
I didn't mean it.
The Pope, sure. Love him.
Love him.
Great guy.
Said,
we're going to burn you anyway.
Yeah.
So on the way to the stake, wait, screw the Pope. He's the Antichrist. Fuck him. And then they burned him. Burned him real good.
Did they draw and quarter him or just
burn
him?
No, just burned him good.
All right.
So, yeah. So Cranmer, he recanted, and then he recanted his recanting. He recanted a lot.
Yeah.
Archbishop of Recanterbury.
Yeah, Recanterbury.
Yep. Staying on this religious, ecclesiastical little motif we have.
Yeah.
James Usher. Now, you know what this guy did?
He hosted the Lutheran Ushers Convention in
bishop.
Hawaii.
He told you. Now you
were to sit in church.
You heathen. No. He told you the exact time and date of the creation.
Oh, he's the one who
worked
it back.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, you want to know when it was? Now, I was off a day.
I'm going to say it was on a Tuesday afternoon around 4:30.
It was October 22nd, 4004 at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
October 22nd.
Yep. So there you go. That's the birth of the
what was the year
the creation? 4004 BCE.
4004 BCE.
Right,
so we've only been here for 6,000 some years.
Yeah. In fact, I think that was brought up in the case, the Butler Act case with Scopes.
Oh, we've only
he
been
asked,
here.
Yeah, he asked.
We couldn't have.
It was in the play. He asked the character, do you really believe that? He said, So anyway,
and?
He did a lot of research.
Finally.
And then, of course, go ahead. Mine are a little
You got
later.
Another?
Oh, yeah, Robert Southey died in 1843. I don't know why you dismissed him. Poet laureate of England for 30 years. One of the Lake poets. Had a big, big rivalry with Lord Byron. They didn't like each other. But he was good friends with Wordsworth and Coleridge.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, he's one of the biggies. And he's also a biographer. And Goldilocks. You've heard of Goldilocks and Three Bears?
Yes.
Robert Southey.
Oh.
That's his.
Gotcha. All right.
There you go. But he was a socialist, too.
Good include. Oh,
dumb
well.
Shit.
So, yeah.
And then Charlotte Bronte sent him some poetry.
Yeah.
Said, what do you think? Literature cannot be the business of a woman's life. In other words, get back in the kitchen where you belong.
Yeah, yeah. He told that to told that to the wrong family.
So anyway, he's a big socialist, but then he turns Tory, and he says, "Oh, hell with that.
Yeah,
this is not so bad."
Yeah. As Armand would say, he got enlightened.
He had an epiphany.
Here's my two deaths for the day. 1975, Joe Medwick,
last Triple Crown winner in the National League, I believe.
That is correct. 1937, this guy was on his way to a major, major career. And if you go to like a baseballreference.com, look at his stats with the St. Louis Cardinals, almost up until the day he's traded to Brooklyn. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And he does come back and finish his career in St. Louis, and he is a Hall of Famer.
Ducky Medwick.
But Ducky Medwick was really on pace to be like 3,000 plus hits. And now he wouldn't have hit 500 home runs or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
But he would have been recognized as a much greater player than he is. What probably happened is he got injured. His team knew it. They traded him. He played through it and just wasn't. But this was a guy who was getting 200 plus hits a year.
In the 30s,
like clockwork in the 1930s. And finally, in 2015, the last, just a great American, Armand, plain and simple. He is an American lieutenant. He was also two-way football player, offense and
Heisman
defense.
Heisman Trophy winner?
For the Philadelphia Eagles.
So.
Chuck Bednarik, man's man all the way around.
He's the answer to some trivia question. Was he like the first one to be drafted first or something in the NFL or something? He had some. He's an answer to some trivia question.
Oh, he's an answer to a lot of trivia questions. So
well, I got another one.
All right.
Okay, last one. 1994, Lily D'Amita.
Lily D'Amita?
Yeah, an actress, not very good actress, kind of a contract player in Warner Brothers, but she was married to Michael Curtiz.
Oh, yeah.
And Errol Flynn.
Oh, Errol, wow, she did well.
Yeah, and she was the mother of Sean Flynn, who went to Cambodia as a photographer for Time Magazine.
Yes.
Never came back.
Never came back, that's right.
And she spent a ton of money trying to find him, never did.
Oh, that's horrible.
She died in 94, but she drove Errol Flynn nuts. If you read his biography, autobiography, My Wicked, Wicked Ways.
Well, go to...
She tried to squeeze...
Go to our website, This Day in History.
Yeah, he had a lot of financial difficulties toward the end, and she never, no, you're going to pay me my alimony to the very bitter end.
Blood that turnip.
Oh. So he had a lot of things to say about it. And that's why he and Michael Curtiz, that was the director of Adventures of Robin Hood.
Oh, yeah.
And Seahawk and some of his best movies. Yeah, well, Errol wasn't in that, but yeah, that's what he won the Academy Award for. But Errol Flynn and Michael Curtiz had this really bad relationship. They kind of hated each other. That's why Curtiz told like other guys, like when you're fighting with them, take the button off the foil and stuff. Yeah, stuff like that. Just hack away.
That's good. Mm-hmm. All right, Armand. That puts March 21st in the books. Check that book out that he just suggested. Go to This Day in History podcast.com. Click on our Amazon banner. Do some shopping. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast and subscribe on Twitter, iTunes, especially on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, any major podcast outlet. That'll do the trick. For producer Andrew Allen and for my co-host Armand Kachigian, I'm Tony Hubert. When March 22nd rolls around, we'll be here to tell you about it on lineupmedia.fm.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.